We'll bring you a basic intro to APRS in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the studios of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, with this RAIN report. The four letters APRS strung together have provided a most useful technology that ham operators aren't utilizing to its fullest. So says Bob Brudninga, WB4APR, the father of APRS, the Automatic Packet Reporting System. Bob spoke at the 2015 Dayton Hamvention.
So what is APRS? APRS is a network of just anybody can talk to anybody that's in range. And then in the, it didn't take a few years before the Sproul brothers and Steve Dempsey tied it into the internet. So basically APRS is a local function on RF, but then all of those local functions all over the earth are all tied together via the internet. And of course, local can be as small as whatever your VHF network is. And in here I'm showing it a satellite. And when one of our APR satellites comes over, it covers the whole United States at once. The thing that always fascinated me about ham radio was knowing where the people are and what is their range capability. So this is the original APRS DOS display, but I was interested in who can talk to who. Some people have good antennas, and so they have 50-mile ranges. Some people have bad antennas and bad locations, and they only have a 5-mile range. And so it's nice to be able to see that visually, which is what APRS was about. APRS is now 40,000 users worldwide. I've never even looked at what the numbers are recently. But the real thing for me is APRS is doing things in ham radio, special events, getting out there in the field. And, of course, there's nothing better than the hamvention and the hundreds of people that you see out there in the parking lot and moving around the flea market. In 2010, I began to realize that people were so concentrated on just tracking with APRS that they kind of overlook the fact that, no, it's a digital system and there's a lot of communications that we can do. So back in 2010, I noticed that there are 26 separate digital systems in amateur radio that can all talk within themselves. They were 26 vertical systems. They don't talk across each other. And so I kind of made the initiative back then of let's start getting all these systems talking to each other. And, of course, the APRS global network is a good way to move that data around. So now we have lots of radios. Yaesu and Kenwood both make APRS embedded in their radios. It looks like they're not stopping. And another important aspect besides text messaging, bulletins, information, local information when you drive into an area is there are two things about communications. You got to be close enough to a guy to be able to communicate, which means you got to know where he is. But the other thing is you got to know what frequency he's on. And so I can't believe that we overlooked that in the initial APRS. So about a decade ago, we said, hey, let's start putting, in addition to your position, what frequency you're on. And now when somebody sees you, they know exactly what frequency to go to and can tune to that frequency and talk on it. Kenwood and Yaesu have both followed along, and they have put both the Kenwood radios and the Yaesu radios have front panel buttons that when you see another APRS station and his frequency included, you just push the tune button, and instantly your radio tunes to his frequency, and you can carry on a conversation. Because it's all about human-to-human information exchange. There's an interesting thing a lot of people don't know about the Kenwood D710 display is that the entire APRS functionality is in the control head. So you can take the control head out of your car and just strap it to any old $30 walkie-talkie, and now you've got full APRS functionality of the Kenwood using a cheap radio. Jeff, KB2M, put the Kenwood APRS control head on the D-Star radio so he could actually do something. I apologize, just making sure everybody was awake. Isn't it amazing that this has been going on for 2 decades, so I'm sure you guys are tired of hearing me talk about APRS, but about a decade ago, we also started encouraging no more of these one-way trackers. One-way trackers are great for a special event where you got to track something driving around that doesn't have a ham radio license, but the last thing I want to see on a map is a ham radio mobile, and I can't talk to him. I don't know what frequency he's on, and he's not even receiving APRS, so I can't even send him a message that says, turn on the 5.2 and let's talk. For about the last decade, most of the gizmo manufacturers now add displays to their tracking systems. And I encourage every application on every device to include an APRS app so that, again, you can send and receive text messaging. I hope everybody's aware of the APRS.fi. That's all you got to, when you're mobile down the road, and just tell somebody, look on APRS.fi and you can see me. So it's a great window to the world. You can just zoom in anywhere and everything is there. This is the old findyou.com. I like it because it has a nice tabular presentation of all the messages that a particular mobile is sending and receiving and who he's talking to and so forth. And on FindYou, you can actually, at your computer, send the message, and it'll go out and be delivered to that mobile. There are a lot of misconceptions about APRS, the number one being that it's only vehicle tracking, and it was never intended for that. It was intended for two-way total information exchange between users. So there's a lot of growth opportunities in APRS that I've been talking about for years. We now have global email. You can send a message from any APRS radio. It'll turn into email and be delivered anywhere. AE5PL wrote us, and so did KJ4ERJ. We have CQ server and announcement server. And so, if I send a message CQ Field Day to the CQ server saying CQ Field Day, that will go worldwide to every other APRS operator in the world who is also sent a CQ Field Day message. A good example is CQ Saturn, the Salvation Army radio. If you send CQ Saturn, then your message will be delivered worldwide to everybody else in the last 24 hours who has also sent a CQ message to Saturn. So we basically have global message grouping as well. I've been talking about APRS Touchstone now for over 14 years. I introduced it here at Dayton in 2000, and every year or so we have a little demonstration. But since we're going to be launching a satellite this year, which has APRS Touchstone, hopefully everybody in the world will see it, and that's my live demo today.
You're listening to a brief introduction to APRS, given by its founder, Bob Bruninga, WB4APR, during the 2015 Dayton Hamvention. We'll conclude his talk in a moment. This is The Rain Report, available via Twitter, at #TheRainReport, on the internet on therainreport.com, and via iTunes.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
APRS Touchstones allows anybody with any radio that has a Touchstone keypad on it to become involved in the APRS global network. You know, you can send your DTMF call sign and instantly you show up globally on the APRS network, where you are, what frequency you're on, and everything else. Global email, we've had that for more than a decade. Then there's the APRS SMS gateway that somebody wrote. The global CQs, like I say, you can send a CQ and it'll go out to every HT in the world who's also sent the same CQ. And then here's APRS Touchstone. You know, what it sounds like is... Okay, big deal. But the thing is, anybody with any radio can do that. And what that is simply my call sign. And you say, well, what good is that? First of all, bingo. Every APRS map in the world can see that I just turned on my radio. They can see that I'm in Dayton, Ohio, and probably they can see that I'm in the Hera Arena because obviously that was just Touchstone. So it had to be picked up by some device within a mile or two of me, so it's going to put me at the Dayton Hamvention, and then that device that puts me on the map at that location is also going to say what frequency I was on when I sent that DTMF, so the world now knows where I am, what frequency I'm on, and that I just turned on my radio, and that I'm available for communications, and that's using any Touchstone radio. So that's kind of what APRS Touchstone is all about. Bionics has made a DTMF decoder to attach to his tiny track 4 device. I've used them in a number of APRS Touchstone's application, but now we're going to fly one on the next satellite. So again, what it does, it allows all of the people that don't have APRS radios to communicate and see information on all the people with APRS radios. Of course, it's easier to send DTMF, but how are you going to receive it? You're going to receive it by voice. There's all kinds of automated voices, you know, our phone answering machine and everything else. There's no reason why somebody can't send me a text message, and then the APRS Touchstone device speaks it to me. So again, APRS is not just tracking. It's voice alert, field data, signal finding, announcements of nets, meetings. Oh, when I talked about the frequency objects and everybody's transmitting their frequency, also, as I'm driving down the highway, I expect on the front panel of my radio to see what is the local voice repeater in this area, and it's right there on the front panel of my radio, and if it's the Kenwood or the Yaesu, I just push the tune button, and instantly now I go with uplink, downlink, and PL, and now I can talk to the locals. We've gotten to the point where every repeater now has PL, and it's almost impossible to raise a conversation because you have to be fiddling or scanning or something to try to figure out what the PL is. And by then, it's pretty hard to talk to anybody. We also did radios in caves. We went down and got permission to go into Mammoth Cave, and we were able to penetrate a full mile with APRS by putting all the digipeaters in these boxes. And nobody's ever done a full mile underground. It took 13 digipeaters to do it. And also, for the last 5 years, we've been trying to do a golden packet, and that is get a packet from Georgia to Maine, a real-time via APRS. And we were finally successful last July. We had 14 different people hike to the top of various Appalachian Trail mountains, and then just sit there just for 4 hours. It's just a 4 hours event. Hopefully, by then, you've either learned it's going to happen or it's not going to happen. We were finally successful. And we've been encouraging, why don't the guys out on the Pacific Coast do the Pacific Coast Trail or the Continental Divide Trail? Make it a special event. Get APRS out in the field and demonstrate something.
And that concludes this excerpt from a 2015 Dayton Hamvention presentation given by Bob Bruninga, WB4APR, considered the father of APRS, the Automatic Packet Reporting System. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2015 Rain, all rights reserved. Now for Rain's founder and producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, bidding you a very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com, on Twitter at hashtag TheRainReport, and via iTunes.